Welcome to the Dürr conference call. Ralf Dieter, CEO, and Ralf Heuwing, CFO of Dürr AG, will present the Dürr Group's preliminary figures of 2015, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over to Mr. Dieter, CEO of Dürr AG. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon or good morning for those of you in the U.S., and welcome everybody. It is a great pleasure to present you Dürr's preliminary figures for 2015. I'm joined, as always, by my colleague Ralf Heuwing for the ninth consecutive year, next year the tenth year. I will start by summarizing the key highlights and providing an overview of our results of 2015. And Ralf will then give you more insights about our financial figures and the division's performance. And finally, I will providing you an overview of digital at Dürr, our answer to the growing digital transformation and interconnection in the production processes, followed by a preliminary outlook for 2016. So in page number four, you can see that in 2015 we passed many milestones. We achieved the fifth record year in a row. With the acquisition of HOMAG and sales of just under 3.8 billion, Dürr has grown into a new dimension. EBIT and net profit reached new all-time highs. Despite significant extraordinary effects, the HOMAG Group made a substantially positive contribution to EBIT. We launched the HOMAG Focus Optimization Program in 2015 and is progressing as expected. The Dürr Group service business grew by a strong 40%. And after peaking in 2015 and 16, CapEx should return to a more normal level in the range of depreciation and amortization. With the acquisition of iTAC, we have taken an important strategic step forward towards reinforcing our smart factory activities. Let's now turn to page number five. Sales rose by 46% or 16% in like-for-like terms. This significant organic growth was partly due to catch-up effects arising from project delays in the painting technology business in 2014. Operating earnings climbed by 24%. And as expected, cash flow was down but clearly positive. On page 6, you can see that, as in the past, Q4 was the strongest quarter of the year. Sales and earnings improved year over year. Now, our cash flow was very strong. Keep in mind that HOMAG was consolidated in Q4 2014, so the figures of Q4 are fully comparable. Page 7 compares the Dürr Group's targets for 2015 and the figures actually achieved. We reached all our targets in 2015 and surpassed our goals for sales and ROCE. Let's now move to page 8. Order intake was spread fairly evenly over our three main regions, China, North America, and Europe. Despite the softer automotive market in China during the summer months 2015, order intake was up 9% compared to the record year 2014. We achieved considerable growth also in North America, while Europe grew underproportionally. But keep in mind that in 2014, we received in Europe an extraordinary large order in Poland worth more than 200 million euro. Despite economic uncertainties, the emerging markets demonstrated consistently strong momentum. We received contracts worth 1.7 billion from these regions, marking a year-over-year increase of 9%. The emerging markets once again accounted for 50% of our order intake. Ralf Heuwing will now take you through our financials, cash flow statements, and the division performance.
Yeah, thank you, Ralf. Ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on page 10. Our gross profit grew by 40%, with only a small decrease in gross margin. The strong growth in our service business and further productivity gains had a positive impact. On the other hand, we saw a changed sales mix and slightly stronger price pressure in the painting technology business. R&D expenses grew by 75% and thus intentionally more quickly than sales. Our admin costs, however, rose more slowly than sales, underlining our continued commitment to cost control. Our reported EBIT includes PPA costs of 18.1 million euros and 8.5 million euros for the termination of HOMAG's employee capital participation. The financial result includes negative effects of 19.4 million euros at HOMAG. The main aspects were the termination of HOMAG's syn loan and integration into Dürr's more efficient funding structure, as well as the accounting impact from the domination and profit transfer agreement. Most of these costs will no longer occur in 2016. Tax expense also includes non-recurring expenses of 8.9 million euros in connection with the domination and profit transfer agreement. I will get back to these points later on. Let's now move to page 12, the cash flow statement. Cash flow from operating activities was impacted by an expected decrease in prepayments. This decline over the previous year's high level was due to the unusually high billing volumes in plant engineering and the resulting increase in net working capital of 138 million euros. You will remember that for 2014, end of the year, we had reported a high surplus liquidity due to extensive prepayments. These fluctuations are more a reflection of timing rather than structural changes. And assuming steady days working capital of 20 days between 13 and 15, cash flow in 15 would have reached 245 million euros, another record level. The overview of our work in process and progress billings on page 13 shows that the payment balance with our customers has started to normalize by around 100 million euros compared to the previous year. The balance is now at minus 212 million euros. We consider a level of around minus 100 million euros to be normal. So we should expect cash outflows of another 100 million euros in the next quarters. Nevertheless, we expect an improved cash flow in 2016 compared to 2015. Page 14 shows our key financial items. Equity was at 714.4 million euros, reflecting the reclassification of minorities following the domination and profit transfer agreement with the HOMAG Group. At the end of 2014, non-controlling interests had included roughly 100 million euros, reflecting the interests of the free float HOMAG shareholders. The shares held by the Schuler and Klessmann families in HOMAG had already been classified as liabilities due to the voting pool arrangements at the end of 2014. Net financial status reached 129 million euros at the end of 2015, despite the acquisitions completed and the higher dividend in 2015. At 45%, ROCE once again reached a high level as EBIT rose on a more or less unchanged capital employed. I will now continue on page 15. CapEx rose to 102 million euros. We expanded or built more than 15 new facilities and technology centers under a CapEx program launched in 2012. Two major investments will be completed in this year: the new campus projects in Southfield, Michigan, and in Shanghai. We expect these campus locations to boost our employees' motivation and productivity substantially, as was the case here in our headquarters in Bietigheim. A further key aspect of CapEx in 2015 was the modernization of the IT systems at the HOMAG Group. We expect a normalized CapEx spending, as already said, in the range of depreciation and amortization from 2017 onwards. Turning to page 16, business volume and earnings across our divisions were mostly encouraging in 2015. Paint and Final Assembly Systems recouped the effects of the 2014 project delays and reported an extraordinary 27% increase in sales to 1.4 billion euros. The catch-up effects of around 200 million will of course not recur in 2016. At 100 million euros, EBIT was again strong, albeit at a more normalized margin. Application technology also grew substantially for billing-related reasons, with margins holding almost steady despite continued startup costs for our industrial products business. Sales in the measuring and process systems division rose slightly while earnings remained at the previous year's high level. In the clean technology systems division, we registered encouraging growth, particularly in China. However, EBIT was under pressure from low demand in Europe and headwinds in the energy efficiency technology due to the low energy prices. I will go into the woodworking machinery systems in more detail on page 17. HOMAG achieved impressive top-line growth of 14% in 2015, accompanied by a like-for-like increase of 16% in order intake. Operating earnings rose by as much as 72% to 63 million euros, resulting in an operating margin of 6.1%. In 2015, we completed our integration efforts successfully. We launched the focus program, realigned the organizational structure under the headline One HOMAG, and improved funding structures. Last but not least, the domination and profit transfer agreement allows us now to collect 100% of the HOMAG Group's profit, even though we only hold 56% of its capital. At 7 million euros per year, the guaranteed dividend is a moderate expense, while providing our existing HOMAG shareholders with a good yield for their de facto dual bond. Page 18 summarizes the extraordinary expenses arising from the acquisition of HOMAG. We had already explained the EBIT adjustments. Now, as a result of the domination and profit transfer agreement, the financial result includes one-off expenses of 12.4 million euros. We did not classify the guaranteed dividend of 7 million euros as extraordinary, as it will reoccur over the next years. Adjusted for all extraordinary effects, the Dürr Group's net profit would have risen by more than 20% to 202 million euros. I will now hand back to Ralf Dieter, who will outline our digital at Dürr strategy and provide you with our outlook 2016.
Yeah, thank you, Ralf. And on page 20, it describes some significant developments in production. Processes are getting increasingly digitalized, while production is being more and more interconnected. Looking forward, production systems and logistics will be more and more self-organizing. New business and service models will arise. Batch size one production, tailored to the wishes of the final customer, is growing in importance, as we can already see that today at HOMAG. On page 21, we describe our Industry 4.0 or smart factory approach. The digital transformation and interconnection of production is an evolutionary and iterative development. It is becoming increasingly more important to track and analyze production data. On this basis, we are developing smart processes, smart products, and smart services at Dürr. For example, project planning and execution in Dürr's paint shop business is fully digitized. Prior to the contract award, the customer, for example, receives a digitized 3D paint shop model and is able to view the system in a fly-through simulation. The digital project execution also includes order calculation, the virtual commissioning of the system, as well as remote commissioning of the paint shop. We define smart products as intelligent, connected devices or machines and systems which are able to regulate themselves and are fitted with sensors and local intelligence. We are able to offer some smart services to customers wherever we or they have online access to the machines. The scheme on page 22 describes the growing importance of the manufacturing execution system as a link between the ERP system and the machine level. The MES software controls and optimizes the industrial production process. Data from the production process is tracked, compared, and analyzed. New service models such as remote diagnostics and predictive maintenance are rising with this opportunity. Let us now continue on page 23. In December 2015, Dürr acquired MES specialist iTAC. Dürr was already offering a self-developed MES software for the painting and assembly processes. However, after 10 years, technically we saw a need to invest into a next-generation software architecture. And we decided to team up with iTAC, which has a state-of-the-art scalable MES suite. Accordingly, we will be modernizing our proven system with the iTAC MES suite over the next 1 or 2 years. Beyond this, iTAC will continue to operate independently in the growing MES market and benefit from Dürr's financial resources and reputation. So far to digital at Dürr. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to our outlook. Page 25 sets out an overview of the PwC forecast, showing that global automotive production is expected to expand at an annual growth of 4% through 2020. Two-thirds of this growth will be generated in the emerging markets. And here China and North America, the world's two most important automotive markets, are in a very solid state, while the European markets are continuing to improve. India shows a strong recovery, while conditions in Brazil are disappointing. Most of our customers show healthy profits and cash flows. Let's turn to page 26. Contributing 85% of their sales, the furniture industry is HOMAG's most important market. The global furniture market is growing at around 5% per annum. China is by far the largest market with a share of 45%, much of which, however, is still manufactured in a less automated fashion. In 2015, Chinese business accounted for around 10% of HOMAG sales. Accordingly, an important priority for HOMAG will be to address the Chinese market opportunity more effectively. Let's move to page 27. From today's perspective, Dürr forecasts order intake of 3.3 to 3.6 billion in 2016. Sales should come to 3.4 to 3.6 billion, some 200 million weaker than in 2015 due to the catch-up effects mentioned before from 2014. And Dürr anticipates a 2016 EBIT not far away from the 2015 level, accompanied by an EBIT margin in the range of 7.0 to 7.5%. This already includes further purchase price allocation effects of about 8.8 million. Driven by an improved financial result and a tax rate of around 30%, net profit should grow over the 2015 figure. This guidance obviously is given under the assumption that economic conditions remain stable, which we do not take for granted. Ladies and gentlemen, before inviting you to ask your questions, I would like to provide you with a brief summary. So first, we are fully on track in 2015, achieving our fifth consecutive record year. We reached and, in some cases, exceeded our guidance and expectations. The outlook remains positive despite a number of weaker market signals, which we must observe carefully. We expect a slight increase in net profit and a higher cash flow. We are expanding our successful service business and want to leverage the growing modernization potential. And we are systematically implementing our digital at Dürr strategy and have the ambition to rank as one of the leading companies in this area. And in the medium term, we will continue to grow via acquisitions. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much so far for your attention. As usual, there will be no press and analyst call when we publish our annual report on March 17, 2016. Our year-end closing is already stable enough for us to be able to give you most of the key figures today. And now we are pleased to answer any questions you might have about the annual report over the phone later. Now we are taking your questions, and I hand back to Mrs. Hopf.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Sven Weier, UBS. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for taking my questions. First one being on your order intake guidance. I was just wondering if you could give us some more color on the pipeline in terms of how the regions look like, and also if you see the year like last year, more front-end loaded on the orders or more back-end loaded or more equally split. The second question is with regard to your EBIT bridge. I mean, as you already said, in the end you're aiming for relatively stable absolute EBIT. I was just wondering about the individual moving parts, because, you know, you already said you have a 200 million carryover that is normalizing, which I guess had a relatively low margin last year. So I guess the operating leverage that we should assume on that 200 should be relatively low. I guess the one-offs are going to be 18 million lower than last year when it comes to PPA and these one-off costs at HOMAG. Maybe you can also talk a little bit about the gross margin situation of the backlog and potentially then also the service contribution to EBIT. So really around, you know, the moving parts on the EBIT bridge. And then just lastly, on application technology, if you could give us an update on where you stand there in terms of what you've achieved already, and remind us of your goals that you have in the medium term and what you could probably achieve this year. Thank you.
Okay, I start with the order intake question. So the pipeline, just coming back this morning from China, and in China we are working on several projects. I, you know that I don't want to have sales meetings in this conference call, but what I can tell you, it's more than 10 major projects we are working on, from electrical cars. And what here we see is a shift which we have already seen in the second half of last year, that the majority of these projects are basically from the local Chinese OEMs, which, as you know, are at the moment very successful and growing strongly, in particular in the low-cost SUV segment. But also we see for North America a good pipeline, in particular also in Mexico. We see modernization projects in North America, also in the U.S. So if we look at our pipeline, we would say it's a very good, healthy pipeline for the year 2016. Not at the level like 2012 and 13, when we talked about capacity, who can do what, but it's still enough business out there that we can have our fair stake out of it. Distribution over quarters, you know, that's very difficult, because it's still customers around who decide when they give an order. But I would say that we look to a normal first quarter. Second quarter could be somehow weaker, and we see more the loading to the second half of the year because we are in some of these projects, or most of them, in relatively not early but not so far advanced stages, and the experience shows that it takes some months to get there. So it's maybe second quarter end, but mostly then the third quarter. But as you know, quarters are not so important.
But maybe a follow-up question. In relative sense, would you say that Q4 was really sort of an outlier there in terms of your order intake?
You can say it like that, but you know I don't care about quarters, yeah, because it doesn't make... If we get an order on the 12th of January, if the customer would have maybe not taken the Christmas vacation, would have got in December, nobody would talk about a decline in Q4, so it's really not worthwhile to talk about quarters. Let's look at half years and full years. I think that's a more relevant perspective. But answer is yes, don't worry about the fourth quarter.
Now, on your EBIT question, Mr. Weyer, I think you've named some of the most important aspects already. The volume, I wouldn't say it had a very low margin, those delays, but of course it had sort of a mid-level margin. So that volume of EBIT is, of course, missing. The one-offs will decline from 26 to about 8 or 9 million euros. These will be the remaining PPA effects at HOMAG, which will also carry for the next years. The gross margin in the order intake is only marginally smaller than in the year before, so that's not going to make a huge difference. Application technology, the industrial painting, had roughly a mid-level single-digit loss in the year 2015, and we will maybe halve this loss in 2016. Service growth might be in the range of 5 to 7% with adequate margins. So those are all those moving parts, but of course we are early in the year, and a precise split down of all those moving parts is at this point already difficult.
But have you made kind of a safety buffer for whatever could happening at VW, or are you not trying to attempt to make any?
Well, if you take the numbers, maybe roughly 12% of our total business multiplied by maybe 6 or 7% budget cut, that's what the official statements are saying, then this may not have a material impact. But of course, Volkswagen hasn't come out with any news on this yet. And if at all there was a material change, it might rather impact 2017. Yeah.
You can be sure that as we speak, we are negotiating with Volkswagen also larger modernization jobs in the world, and also new plants.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when it comes to the impact on you, I mean, I guess what they've announced did seem to me rather like maybe some phantom projects. On Mexico, for example, so I'm not so sure that there will be such a major sales impact on you at all. So the question was rather maybe you make a safety haircut that is not really necessary in the end. Yeah.
It's early in the year. Give us a chance.
Okay. Thank you.
But the last question I didn't understand regarding application technology, you said...
No, I was just wondering, I think Mr. Heuving already answered on the,
okay,
the profit, but maybe also a comment on where you stand on the revenues and where you're aiming for there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we achieved maybe revenues of 15 million or so, should grow to maybe 20, maybe a bit more in the year 2016.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from Ingo Schachel, Commerzbank. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one would be regarding your research and development expenses. This increase of 40 million, could you give us a rough breakdown? How much of that relates to HOMAG? How much to the application technology industrial products situation? And how much to the rest of the business, and what we should expect in the next 1 to 3 years, whether that's still growing above proportionally to sales? And the second question is regarding the margin guidance again, and obviously you've already now given somewhat of an EBIT bridge, but in your explanation to Sven's question, everything you said for each segment that you mentioned, you sounded as if you expected, let's say, at least flat margins here. So if I may try to phrase the question in a slightly different way, is it the measuring process system segment where you, after two very strong years, would see the highest risk at the margin? Is weaker in 16 than in 15, or should we just say that your guidance is conservative as usual?
Second point. The answer is the second point.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just take what we said in our guidance, if we take the reduction of revenue and we still say the total EBIT should be pretty comparable to 2015, that implies that we are looking at an increased margin. Now on R&D, the R&D expense that accounts to HOMAG was around about 40 million euros, yeah. So it explains roughly 40% of the total. We also increased the R&D expenses at the rest of Dürr following our innovation strategy. And what we don't do is breaking out the individual divisions at this point on R&D. And subdivisions, as concerns the industrial products, but you will not find a very material difference in application technology in 2015 versus 14.
And in the next year, should we expect another increase as a percentage of sales? Or?
Probably only a small one.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from Alexander Hauenstein. Your line is now open.
Hello, Alexander Hauenstein, DZ Bank. I have three questions. First of all, coming back to your guidance, I understand you're targeting roughly the same number as in 2015, means the 268 plus minus. So that would be the upper end of the 7.0 to 7.5% margin guidance. I'm a bit curious to hear what are the underlying assumptions for the let's say the bear case of the guidance range. What would need to happen, or what might go wrong? If I may say so, to see the 238 probably, so meaning 7.0% times the 3.4 billion sales. So that was the first question. The second one, a bit related to that, people are obviously quite worried about the order intake, and I was hoping that maybe we see in Q4 a bit of a higher number. As you explained, it's something which can vary from quarter to quarter, but a couple of questions I got was what is happening in application technology going forward? Is there, after still a stable quarter in order intake, maybe further deterioration to come here as well? How do you think about this one? And maybe the last question on HOMAG Q4. I was wondering what was happening here in the fourth quarter. Is it? I thought it might have been more a linear positive development compared to the last quarters. How should we think about that, and what was the reason for the result as you presented it in Q4? Not dramatic, but just to get a feeling how we should model that going forward. Thank you.
Well, maybe I take this one first because it's an easy one. You may remember that we already guided when we talked about HOMAG in the past that there might be one-offs to the tune of 8 to 10 million euros related to optimization, in particular to the termination of this employee participation program. And half of that, 4.5 million, was accounted for in Q2, and the other half, roughly 4 million, was accounted for in Q4. So that's really a non-linear situation. But it was already predicted at the early stage of the year.
So you give me the difficult questions now. So your question regarding the level of 265 to 270 million EBIT, the assumption for this bear case, as you call it, the assumptions are very simple. We, first of all,
see our backlog as of today, which is basically the whole year revenue already, more or less. Second, that we underline that we assume that we have a secure order execution process as we have seen over the last years. So what can go wrong is always what can go wrong in equipment business, or that you have somewhere a bigger problem. And I know, Gunwoods, we hadn't had this for many years, so I don't expect this to come this year. So it's quite a solid case for us. The order intake worries in the Q4, as I said already, I don't share. I understand, but don't be worried. And the APT, the development here in order intake, we expect also quite stable for this year on a good level.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Schramm. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Michael Schramm from HSBC. I have two questions, please. One coming back to the Q4 development in paint and assembly. So I think what the market also concerned a bit was this steep decline in the margin despite higher year-on-year sales, which is more than a normalization, quite obviously, versus outstanding previous year. So could you elaborate a bit on the topic margin pressure you mentioned, which dimension this has, and if we should be prepared to further deterioration in this respect. And second question to the financials, this minus 10.9 of financial result, just to be sure, this is including already the 7 million of guarantee dividend. And if I have calculated correctly, then we still have a minority position here below the line of about minus 5 million. Is this correct? Thanks.
Yeah, on the financial results, the reported figures, of course, include this guaranteed dividends, yeah, of 7 million. We had, strictly legally speaking, for 2007, we are not paying a guaranteed dividend, but we committed to paying the same amount of dividend anyway as per the agreement of the domination agreement. But the reported interest figure includes the 7 million guaranteed dividend. And then the major portion, which is about 12 million, is not recurring because it is consisting of two items. One is the termination cost of this previous SIN loan agreement at HOMAG, and secondly, the reflection of this of booking the domination agreement into our books and eliminating the minorities, replacing them in our on the liability side of our balance sheet, booking them as future liabilities. So those also ran partially through our income statement and therefore led to this one-time expense.
On the Q4 PFS decline in margin, what we executed in, or what we realized in sales in Q4 2015 was order intake from 2014. So first of all, such a sales number can't reflect actual margin pressure. But second, it is clear what we also said, we had here a strong revenue increase in this quarter, which was mainly due to two or three major projects. One was already mentioned, Poland, another one in another region, which had, let's say, lower margin due to the huge volume they had, and also it was including buildings. And this was a main portion in the fourth quarter. As you look at the margin, was 6.7% for the whole year. It was about 7.3%. And we always said already last year that the high margin we saw in 2014 in PFS will not reoccur because it were extraordinary due to effects out of 2012 order intakes. Yeah, so we see a level of 7% quite as a normal level for the PFS division now.
Okay, so just clarification on the financial. So this minus 10.9 is a good guidance also for financial result for the current year and going forward.
Yeah. I mean, okay. The item, I mean, the world at Dürr, the financial situation doesn't change much when adjusted for those one-offs.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Thank you. The next question is from Tim Rokossa, Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Tim Rokossa, Deutsche Bank. I would have two questions. The first one, I don't want to come back to the point whether that's conservative or not in your margin outlook, but just to clarify the issue maybe. This 268 million flat EBIT that you're expecting, that is already incorporating the 16, 17 million tailwind that you should get from less extraordinary impacts this year. Is that correct?
Correct, absolutely.
Okay. And then just on the spending behaviors of your customers, do you notice any change in prepayment terms for any of your projects, given all the risks that the capital market at least is currently pricing in for your end customers as well, and that probably makes them a bit more cautious on the cash side? Thank you.
On the larger projects, we don't see, let's say, a fundamental change. We had times in 2013 and particularly also in 2014 where customer had really excess of cash, where we got, for example, in end of 2014 a huge down payment. This we will not see at the moment. There we see for sure some normalization, but I think we're coming back to normal terms.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. At the moment, there are no further questions. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press 01.
So, no further questions?
We have one further question. The question is from Bernard Dosch. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. One question on CapEx. What should we expect for 2016 and afterwards?
Yeah, I already mentioned that 2016 will be another strong year in terms of CapEx, not so different from 15. And after 16, so 17 onwards, we see a level of depreciation amortization, so roughly 75 million as a normalized basis.
Perfect. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. At the moment, there are no further questions.
Okay, Ms. Hopp, then it seems that we have clarified everything, and then I would thank you all very much for your questions, and we enjoyed the discussion as always. But I would like also to take the opportunity to announce our Investors Day on June 24th, 2016 in Bietigheim, Bissingen, which is our headquarter, to which you will receive an invitation soon. We will be presenting our digital and Dürr strategy to you in greater detail. We would like to say goodbye for today and wish you a pleasant afternoon and hope to see many of you on the 24th of June. Thank you very much.
Ladies
Bye-bye.
And gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.